Good morning. I thought I had still some more time. Last week we briefly looked at abortion, and we looked at fetal development. I hope it was interesting because that to me was very fascinating. And half an hour was much too less to cover such a big subject. There are many aspects to that. We do, really do not have any time for Q&A. But I would like to just ask, for my understanding, are there any questions that you all have? No questions. So I'll ask the question. At what fetal age is it okay to abort? No age? How about 1 week? Yeah. Because abortion providers are trying to confuse people. They have brought in many terminologies. They say things like pre-implantation embryo and many such things to confuse people. But we saw very clearly that life begins at conception. Legally, abortion can be performed with certain limitations. In India, earlier, under the Act, MTP Act, an abortion could be performed up to 20 weeks on the advice of one doctor. But now they have raised that to about 24 weeks on the advice of two doctors. In the US, after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, abortion laws are decided by each state. In Texas, abortions are not allowed if there is detectable heartbeat by ultrasound. And that is usually 3 to 4 weeks after conception. Abortion at any time. We saw that life begins at conception, and abortion at any time is the killing of a baby. Now, since this message or talk is being recorded and streamed online as well, I am speaking not only to those who are listening to me now, but also who may listen in future. If anyone listening, male or female, has ever had an abortion or has compelled a woman to have an abortion, you know it is a serious mistake. It is a sin. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty, but the fact is that an abortion not only has physical risks, but psychological, traumatic after effects as well. This can happen months or even years after the incident. Now, God views abortion very seriously. But He is also a God of forgiveness. He is a God of second chances. He will forgive you if you truly repent and confess. Now, if anyone is experiencing serious trauma, it is important to consult, in my opinion, a good Christian counselor. However, if you prefer somebody secular, you have to ensure that the person is qualified and experienced in providing after-abortion support and therapy. If you just want to talk to and/or pray with someone, we are available. My wife and I are available to just talk or pray with you. I assure you, all details will be kept confidential. Last week, we saw that induced abortions, or medical termination of pregnancy, as they call it, is divided into two groups. A therapeutic abortion is intended to protect the life or the health of the mother. And circumstances that threaten the life of a mother are extremely rare. An elective abortion is one that the physician does not consider necessary for health reasons. Most abortions are done because of unwanted pregnancies. More than 90% of all induced abortions are done for elective non-medical reasons. As ghastly and disturbing as it is, I strongly believe that everyone, including teenagers, should know what abortion is and what it does to the baby and to the mother. Everyone needs to know what is actually being done in the name of choice and women's rights. Many women make the decision to have an abortion without ever discussing the procedures or health considerations with anyone. Perhaps no other procedure is performed with this degree of patient ignorance. I firmly believe that most women, once they know the facts, will not consider an abortion. Because God has placed that maternal instinct, and it is so strong in women that they would rather give their own life than kill their own baby, most women. But people are being deceived with wrong information. Abortions can be chemical or surgical or a combination of both. The methods used depend on the fetal age and size. Now, chemical abortions account for more than half of all the abortions done in the US. The following are some of the abortion procedures done during the first trimester. This can be quite disturbing, some of these, but I feel that we need to understand what exactly is happening. The MAP, or the morning after pill, is used up to 3 days from conception. The drug Ella is used up to 5 days. Both of these suppress ovulation, but if fertilization has already taken place, they act as abortifacients. RU486, also called the abortion pill, is the most common form of chemical abortion. It is a combination of two pills, mifepristone and misoprostol. Mifepristone blocks the action of progesterone, which prevents the development of a healthy uterine wall or the implantation of the embryo. Misoprostol causes uterine contraction to expel the embryo or fetus. MTX or methotrexate is similar. That is given by injection. MTX is used between 1 and 8 weeks, and RU486 is used between 2 and 5 weeks. As with all drugs, these pills have various side effects like abdominal pain, menstrual disorders, headaches, infection, cramps, excessive bleeding, kidney disease, blood disorders, etc. On July 4th, 2022, a 19-year-old Canadian girl died due to septic shock after taking the abortion pill. Abortion activists claim that it is safer than Tylenol, but the drug has been linked to deaths of millions of unborn babies and dozens of mothers, as per that article. Now, abortionists use obscure clinical sounding euphemisms like DNC, DNE, DNX, IDE, etc., to hide the realities of how the abortions are performed. A very common method of surgical abortion used when the baby is between 4 and 11 weeks is suction DNC, or suction dilation and curettage. This is different from the common doctor-prescribed DNC that is performed for diagnosis and treatment of various conditions. If you look at pro-abortion websites, they say a gentle vacuum is used to remove the fetal tissue. First of all, it is not a tissue, it is a growing baby, and it is a powerful vacuum. It's probably about 10 times more powerful than the vacuum, the household vacuum cleaners that we use. The cervix is dilated under local anesthesia or general or GA, and a hollow tube with sharp end is used to scrape and suction the contents of the uterus. Surgical and chemical abortions are used, that are used during the second and third trimesters. D&E, or dilation and evacuation, is used for 11 to 21 week old babies. We saw last time that by the end of the second month, all the organs are present and functioning. At 13 weeks, the baby's crown to rump length is about 4.5 inches. It can feel pain. And the baby is usually too large to be aborted by suction D&C. D&D is also called dismemberment abortion. You know what dismemberment means, don't you? Dismemberment. Grasping instruments are used to dismember the baby piece by piece and parts are removed. The head must usually be crushed. And this procedure is traumatic even for medical personnel because they must reassemble the parts to ensure that no parts are remaining, that the abortion is complete. All surgical abortions have various side effects and complications, though all are not equally applicable, equally likely. This includes heavy bleeding, cramping, sometimes scarring or damage to the uterus, leading to infertility, pelvic inflammation or infection of the uterus, the fallopian tubes, and or the ovaries. There could be perforation of the uterus and damage to nearby organs. Have you heard of D&X abortions? Anyone? D&X, or sometimes called IDE, or intact D&D. It is also called partial birth abortion. It is used for babies 20 weeks or more. It involves dilating the woman's cervix under GA, then pulling the baby's legs with the forceps into the birth canal. The baby is delivered except the head. The abortionist then uses a scissors or another sharp instrument to puncture the head. The brains are suctioned out, the head compressed, and the dead baby is removed. Partial abortions are now banned in the US. This and other such procedures are described in many websites so matter-of-factly that you wonder how so many people have no feelings or a conscience. Another one is intracardiac injection. It is a chemical abortion and it is used for fetuses 12 weeks or more. The child is killed by injecting potassium chloride or digoxin into its heart. Sometimes prostaglandin is used to induce labor. Intracardiac injection is often used in pregnancy reduction. That is, in the case where there are multiple multi-fetal pregnancies resulting from fertility defects. In such cases, prostaglandin is not used. Prostaglandin induction is used for babies 11 to 25 weeks old. Prostaglandin is a hormone produced by the uterus that causes uterine contractions. Large doses of synthetic prostaglandin are used to cause abortion. But it can also cause cardiac arrest, cervical trauma, death, and other serious side effects. A saline injection is used for babies 12 weeks or more. This procedure was developed in Nazi concentration camps and frequently used during the 1970s and 1980s. It is rarely used today in the US. The procedure involves removing 5 to 7 ounces, say about 140 to 200 ml of amniotic fluid and replacing it with concentrated saline solution. The baby breathes this solution and dies several hours from chemical burns to its skin and lungs. It can cause convulsions, severe hypertension or stroke, especially if the saline is injected into a blood vessel. Hysterotomy is a major surgery used for babies 20 weeks or more. It is similar to a hysterectomy, similar to a C-section, where the incision is made in the abdomen and the uterus, and the baby is generally allowed to die in utero and then removed. Most practitioners do not use this option because of its high morbidity. Along with physical risks, there are psychological risks as well. Some of the risks are suicide. People who undergo abortions are 6 times more likely to commit suicide. Up to 60% have suicidal thoughts. 65% have higher risk of depression, trauma, eating disorders, and substance abuse, guilt, divorce, and chronic relationship problems are also there. Why did we go into such horrible details of these awful procedures? Many are ignorant, but we cannot excuse ignorance. We know this is happening. Not just curiosity, but we should be concerned enough to know what is happening, why, how much, and what we can do about it. Even children know that such things are happening. Probably some of their friends have gone through that procedure. I feel this should jolt us out of slumber and apathy. The church is not doing enough to oppose this heinous practice. Two or three years ago, I read about Warren Hurd, a Colorado abortionist who has performed a number of D&E abortions, dilation and evacuation. He says they can be particularly troubling to clinic staff. He says that so it can be traumatic to doctors as well. And he says there is no possibility of denial of an act of destruction by the operator. It is before one's eyes. Listen what he said. The sensation of dismemberment flowed through the forceps like an electric current. They know what they are doing. Recently, maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago, I read an article about the same person that he mentioned he used to get nightmares, but he has gotten over it. He's in great demand now because of the Roe v. Wade abortions, the Roe v. Wade overturning. Many states have banned abortions, so they fly in to his clinic to do that. Most of us know Jeremiah 17 verse 9 by heart, I'm sure, but I will just read it to you. I know it by heart, but I will just read it to you. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is the state of the human heart. There are some hard cases that need to be addressed. Many are of the opinion that abortion is the best option in the rare instance that a child is conceived as a result of rape or incest. Both are serious crimes against women, and more so when it is a minor that is involved. But we have to realize that abortion after rape only re-victimizes the child or the victim. Furthermore, it is unjust to punish the child for the crime of the father. And in the case of incest, abortion only hides the evidence of the abuse and may lead to repeat offenses. I've read of instances where minors who were raped, once they realize that it is a baby, they refuse to go for the abortion and they carry it to term. That is the maternal instinct that I was talking about. In India, the law allows abortion when the health or life of the mother is at risk. Claims of health risk to the mother does not justify actively taking the life of the child. Many women have opted to carry their children to term without any adverse effects, even though they were advised to save their health or life. Many in the medical field affirm that there are now few or no maternal medical conditions where a pregnancy cannot be allowed to continue long enough for the baby to be born. Then there are cases when there are fetal disabilities, and people say if the child is going to be disabled, you can abort. To be told that a developing child may have disabilities is heartrending, and it is very difficult to come to terms with. However, first of all, medical predictions could be inaccurate. There are cases where it has been wrong and the child was born healthy. Second, even if the diagnosis is accurate, a disabled child is just as human as a normal child. Right? And it deserves the same love and care and respect as any normal child. Second, it is important for would-be parents to choose a healthy lifestyle, including diet, exercise, sufficient sleep, and to avoid unnecessary stress. The health or medical condition of the parents will be a contributing factor to the health of the child. Then there are ethical concerns of contraception and IVF. Many people do not realize that the hormonal contraceptives, commonly called the pill or the IUDs, intrauterine devices, have an abortifacient effect. They work to prevent ovulation and fertilization. But if fertilization occurs, then they act as abortifacients. And the pills have mild to dangerous side effects. And they have been classified as carcinogenic by the WHO's Cancer Research Group. IVF or in vitro fertilization, the way it is done now is ethically wrong, as it consists of giving the woman shots to harvest multiple eggs, and then fertilizing them in a dish and implanting multiple embryos that sometimes result in multiple pregnancies. It involves a destruction of discarded embryos, which is equivalent to an abortion. A 2012 article in the National Library of Medicine states that there is significant risk of maternal death and morbidity after IVF. Now, I was going to share some websites because I do not have any images, but I will share one. There is one which I think is okay. Or if you search lifeissues.org, there are some pictures. There is another one which I will not share now because there is some very graphic content. It just sends shivers down your spine. But if you are interested, I think everybody should see it. The reason why they put it is they say they operate on the principle that abortion represents an evil so inexpressible that words fail us when attempting to describe its horror. Until abortion is seen, it will never be understood. And I fully agree to that. Years ago, I got interested in pro-life and finding out about abortion, and I've read a lot about it. I've argued about it, and I know the horror of it. But when you actually see the baby parts and the procedures, it just numbs your mind. I will want to share with you some comments that people have, women have made after they have gone through abortion. On June 2nd, 2018, one lady had written, "Had I known the trauma of my abortion beforehand and was told the real truth about my unborn child, it never would have happened. God has forgiven me, but I have not fully forgiven myself. It has been 44 years and it still haunts me." There is another site called Support After Abortion. And they talk about chemical abortions that are mainly focused on chemical abortion. They say chemical abortion is self-managed at-home abortion. Therefore, the woman has to deal with the procedure and the pain alone. This can be very intense and traumatic, especially if she was not prepared or informed about what to expect. One lady says, "I took the abortion pill. The after effects are unbearable. I'm not sure I did the right thing, even though I thought about it intensely before deciding. I'm hurting so much and I keep thinking, how did I make this decision and become so powerless?" Another person, "Yesterday was the final day of my abortion. I was not prepared for what was going to happen. I can't stop crying. I saw the baby's arms and legs. My boyfriend is very upset too. I need to talk to someone." Another one, "The way it was explained to me was not how it truly happened. They said it would be painless. It definitely was not. It was a lot more frightening than expected." Another person whose abortion was done more than 5 years ago says, "I regret it still to this day and probably will for the rest of my life." Another one, "It was horrific. It was 100 times more painful and took longer than I was told. It was much more traumatic than a surgical abortion, which I had once before." And they, let me read to you. You all know about Planned Parenthood. See, the name itself sounds so appealing. You go to their site and what all they have written. "If you are pregnant and seeking an abortion, your nearest Planned Parenthood health center or another trusted reproductive healthcare provider can determine how far into pregnancy you are and help you understand your options. There are two ways of ending a pregnancy: in-clinic abortion and abortion pills. Both are safe and effective." That's a lie. Effective they are, but they are not safe. There are serious short-term and long-term consequences. Then they talk about crisis pregnancy centers. They call it fake centers. And they talk a lot about the anti-abortion group. I happen to see one site. They are dedicated just to criticize the Human Coalition. That's all. They have got so much data about them. Their aim is to just criticize, whereas they are the ones who are lying. Planned Parenthood believes your body is your own. The dangerous new state laws that ban abortion care are confusing, scary, and just plain wrong. That's what they are saying. Know that we will do everything we can to continue to provide you with the full range of sexual reproductive health services you need, including abortion care. Abortion is not reproductive health service. Listen to this carefully. One place they say, if you are under 18, find out if you need parental consent. Some states require people under 18 to get parental consent or notify a parent. You can get around this with a judicial bypass. That's the kind of advice they are offering young girls. You don't need to inform your parents when you're going for such a dangerous and horrible procedure. Can you imagine that? These people are so evil, it makes my blood boil. And some of you might know they are funded by your tax dollars, the tune of now it is about $600 million per year. I do sometimes pray, as many other Christians do, that they will be defunded. But you have to get the right people into government for that. Now, when we are talking about the options that we provide for those who are considering abortion, especially when we are dealing with the youngsters, it is not just a substitute for abortion. We should also be talking about sexual integrity. The Bible very clearly states that fornication and adultery are sins. That is, premarital and extramarital sex are both contrary to God's holy design for marriage. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul talks about the church's relationship to Christ and as presenting them as a chaste virgin to Christ. And many youngsters are now choosing to remain chaste, but we need to convey that message to them. We need to be talking to them about that, because if not, their friends are going to influence them. And even if you are not religious, it is in your best interest to keep yourself chaste for marriage. Researchers have found that chastity before marriage offers many benefits, including a decreased chance of psychological damage from expressing intimacy without commitment, freedom from sexually transmitted diseases and unwanted pregnancies, and an increase in marital stability and satisfaction. Now, I would like to relate this to sharing the gospel. Some Christians are not, I feel, passionate enough about sharing the gospel. Probably because they do not know how to do, or they are nervous. But we should be encouraging one another to be equipped to share the gospel at every opportunity. What is the gospel? What are we doing in sharing the gospel? It's just passing on information. We cannot convert a person. And in the same way, we cannot force a person to abort or not to abort. We can only provide them with truth, with information. Do we realize ourselves, and are we able to convey to others the awfulness or the wretchedness of sin and the awfulness of the judgment that sinners will face, and also the awesomeness of the plan of salvation that God has provided, the awesome price that was paid at Calvary? We need to be passionate about it if we are to share the gospel with others. And I'm expecting a seminar. It was announced once. I think you have some clash with dates, but I look forward to that. And I also, in passing, let me say, it is necessary to talk, to preach, but then I feel it is also important for us to have informal discussions where there is an exchange of ideas, where we ask questions and learn from each other. We learn from each other's experience in every subject. But it has to be carefully regulated or it can go out of hand. But I feel there is a lot of value in informal discussions. So what is our responsibility? in the light of this. What is Matthew 5:13? Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth. Have we lost our savor? Verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. We live in an age of information. Anything you want, you type it and you get a lot of information. But it is also the age of misinformation. There is a lot of lies being propagated. We are the ones who have the truth. We are the ones who have the light. We are the light. Right? Matthew 5:14, Christ says, ye are the light. The question is our light on a candlestick or are we hiding it under the bushel? Are we prepared, equipped to go out into the world and shine this light? God has placed us in a family like this so that we help each other. It is always a battle out there, and we cannot do that on our own. That's why we have fellowship with one another, to encourage, to exhort, and to challenge each other. In one of those videos, a young girl asks, why are Christians being silent? We can be silent no longer. There is no excuse. Proverbs 24, verse 11 and 12. We'll close with that. Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, let not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, let not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works. Unless we respond correctly, we will have to give an answer when we stand before Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for enabling us to gather this morning in thy presence. Thank thee once again for reminding us of thy Son, of thy love towards us. We thank thee for that sacrifice, one sacrifice for sins forever, whereby we have been redeemed and made thy children. And Father, we have seen at the horror of abortion. Father, we pray, O God, that thou would work in our hearts and minds. Help us, O God, to be equipped, to be strengthened by thy grace to fight this evil in whatever way we can. Help us to save those who are being led to death. Father, we thank thee for this time. These are very difficult, traumatic procedures that are being done, and many people are being confused and deceived. We pray thou would help many Christians, O God, across the nation, across the world, to know the truth and to be equipped to reach out to those who are in this crisis situations and to help them. We thank thee for many organizations that are involved in this work. We pray thou would help them to help those who are in need. Continue to guide and help us, O God, the rest of this week, in all our needs, in all our challenges. Help us to understand thy will and plan and walk with thee. We commit all things into thy hands as we ask all these things in the worthy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.